Hey, everybody, welcome back to Inside the Five. It's Stav.
It's Will.
And it's Griff.
And week one of the NFL season is in the books. We're here to bring you a recap from Thursday night to the Monday night game. A lot of things happened, a lot of key players injured. The whole season projection, just throw it to the fucking trash because it's all happening, it's all changing. And that's what makes football great. Let's just dive right in. Enough talking, boys. What do you say?
Let's go. All right, let's get things started here with Thursday night. I want to lead off by saying we should have known something was up this weekend going into Thursday night with how this game panned out as the Detroit Lions take down the defending Super Bowl champions at home, 21-20. And I mean, what a game. It was the perfect start to the NFL season, the perfect start to NFL week one. Plenty of ups and downs. Obviously, Travis Kelce did not play, which we did not know before on our last recording, because we recorded the day of. Travis Kelce did not play, and I mean, that was pretty much the story of the game. The receiver issues that the Kansas City Chiefs had. We know Kadarius Toney had a few drops. Justin Ross had a couple drops as well. Overall, just not a fantastic game from Patrick Mahomes, at least up to his standard, Stav. And I want to lead it off. I know we're going to talk a lot about the Detroit Lions here. I want to lead it off with the Chiefs. They just signed Chris Jones back to a one-year deal. Travis Kelce should be good to go from here on out. Do we see any red lights, any stop signs, anything that's in the way of this Kansas City Chiefs team from winning the AFC? Or is this something that we're going to be getting used to here going on this year, taking a loss, I mean, on Thursday night, week one?
Well, I just kind of want to get things started with saying how important Travis Kelce is to this team, because we saw it from the opening drive, essentially, all throughout the game. This offense struggled. This offense struggled in the third and short situations, or the second and long, where, okay, you just hit Travis Kelce over the middle. He's going to get you that first down, or he's going to set up third and short. And that's where this offense struggled, because Mahomes couldn't get rid of the ball quick enough because those receivers were covered, leading to many holding penalties, leading to him getting sacked, stuff like that, and losing yards. And that's not what we're used to seeing out of this Kansas City offense. We're used to seeing them consistently moving the ball down the field with a big play threat. And their big play threat was taken out of the game, or he was ruled out of the game. So they're going to struggle if Kelce isn't himself. They need Travis Kelce to be back, and he's probably going to be back, like you said, on Sunday or whenever. I think they play Sunday. I don't think they play Monday. No, they play Sunday. They play Sunday. If he's back, this offense should be in full threat. That's kind of really all I took away from it. And to answer your question about if they're going to lead the AFC again, it's all if Travis Kelce can stay healthy throughout the year. The defense wasn't the problem. They signed Chris Jones to his extension. He's going to be back, whatever that means, the one-year deal. But their defense was fine. Their defense had up 21 points. So was it 21? What was the final score of
21,
that game?
21-20.
Yeah, it was 21-20. The defense was fine. You let up 21 points. Your defense let up 14 points. Lions got a pick six, so it wasn't the defense's fault. It was just the offense couldn't get anything going, especially in that second half. I'm not really worried about the Chiefs. I'll get worried if Travis Kelce re-aggravates that injury and he's out for an extended period of time.
Right, and someone that I was expecting to really do something was Noah Gray, the backup for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been with the team for a few years, and he had the opportunity to really step up, get some chunk plays, maybe be a little bit of a security play and get at the tight end position. He finishes with 31 yards on the game. Really not too much. But as for the other side of the ball, the team that ended up winning, we saw the Detroit Lions obviously get hot at the end of the season last year, putting up a lot of points. And going into this year, we were talking about this is the first year in a while, at least, since they've had some expectations. They have a very good rotation of receivers. They have a good running back room, and I kind of want to start things off there because the rookie Jahmyr Gibbs, who was supposed to be seen as one of the better rookies to look out for this week, really didn't function in the role that I expected him to, at least as the person that drafted him in the second round of my Dynasty League. But David Montgomery went out there, ran the hell out of the ball. Will, with this tandem, first off, two questions. Could this, you know, say in 3 or 4 weeks, could we be talking about this duo as the best running back duo in the league? And second off, how long do you see this going on as Montgomery being the guy that's going to get 21 touches and Jahmyr Gibbs not as many? Or do we see that flip-flopping? What kind of things should we be expecting from this running back room going forward?
I mean, if we took a look at the game, obviously Gibbs didn't get as much touches as we thought. But I think Montgomery came out there and did more than what was expected. Obviously, Montgomery's a good running back in this league and new team this year. I don't think they're going to be regarded as the best tandem, but I think they will be one of the best come a few weeks. I think Gibbs is going to settle down a little bit. I think they're going to give him some more reps. We might see some games where they split. We might see some games where Gibbs might be on. Like, I think they're going to ride whoever's hot for a little bit once they get further down into the season. But I mean, I really think if once, speak on a different note, I think once Jameson Williams comes back, that offense is really going to settle into itself. I think adding that wide receiver will also help their running game because they're going to have someone who Goff is going to get really comfortable with out there, as well as Amon-Ra. I think this offense is going to be really, really good, and I don't think they're a joke this year. They're going to need to be taken serious every single week because, I mean, one, they just beat the Chiefs, but they could chalk up a win against anyone's team right now.
Right, and you talked about the addition of Jameson Williams when he comes back off his suspension. Amon-Ra St. Brown obviously went out there, scored a touchdown, added 71 yards to it as well. And another guy that kind of didn't really get talked about, former Ram, Josh Reynolds, who went out there, was actually the leading receiver in this game with 4 grabs. He had 80 yards, and he's someone that I could see easily being a guy that kind of falls under the radar. And once Jameson Williams comes back, that's a guy that – I mean, you could kind of compare him to one of those, you know, third receivers, quote unquote, that should be a second receiver. He's going to get a lot of touches, and he performed very well stepping up into that role against the Chiefs. Obviously, the Chiefs, who you could say are lacking in the DBs, like Stav said, I agree. I thought their defense was pretty good in that game. They only let up 14 points. Just a tough loss on Thursday Night Football. But how about we move on to Sunday? I mean, a full slate of games. We're going to get things started with a divisional matchup between the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers, and Atlanta handled them quite well. Stav, I'm going to get things started here. Bryce Young, obviously, in his debut, throws 2 picks. Bijan Robinson on the other side of the ball. Two of the most exciting offensive rookies debuting in this game. Ends in a win for Bijan Robinson. What do we think about Bryce Young in his debut? What do we think about Bijan?
I'll start it off with Bryce Young. I'm not really worried. He did throw 2 picks, but when you're drafted as a first overall player, you're not really going into the best situation. That's kind of known. The offensive line struggled. The run game really didn't help him too much. And it's tough because Atlanta has a pretty good defense. They're a very underrated defense, especially with the acquisition of Jesse Bates, who intercepted Bryce Young twice. And that's a veteran safety who's going to make a rookie second guess or maybe trap him into throwing some bad throws. But Bryce Young did have a touchdown pass. He got his first career touchdown pass that was eventually thrown into the stands by Hayden Hurst. He showed flashes. I'm not saying it was a great performance because we'll get to the best rookie quarterback this week, but he has things to work on, and this team around him has things to work on as well. But no one really expected Bryce Young. How do I want to phrase this? No one really expected the Panthers to be dominant or to kind of win that division. Let me get to Bijan as well. Bijan was electric. And this kind of reminds me a little bit of the opposite of what Detroit did Thursday night, where they had Bijan as the premier back, but they also featured Tyler Allgeier in a great role who scored 2 touchdowns. They can't really throw the ball. Desmond Ridder, he's kind of what you expect Desmond Ridder to be, where he's what he was at Cincinnati. He's a game manager. He's going to try and take care of the football, and he's going to get the ball to his running backs, and the running game has to succeed for this Falcons team to succeed, and they have to win with defense. Drake London was on the field 100% of the snaps. He didn't even get 1 target. Kyle Pitts made a big play, but this Falcons team is all right. I think their ceiling's around 8-9. but Bijan definitely showed some flashes. I think he probably had the most electric first career touchdown that you could have.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it was that was an insane run. Just I want to say with the NFC South, these two teams surprised me in this game. I just think that, you know, the Panthers didn't put up a lot of points, but I love how balanced their offensive attack was on the ground and through the air. I love Miles Sanders in that turquoise uniform. He looks fast. He runs hard. He had a few plays where he didn't really have a lot of chunk plays. I actually don't think he really broke one out in this game, but 18 carries for 72 yards, and he was chugging along the field. Chuba Hubbard also added 60 yards himself. I think that that's great for a rookie quarterback to have a duo like that. I hope this isn't the theme of the episode, running back duos. But I would just like to see a couple of Carolina's receivers step up into a bigger role. Adam Thielen maybe be a little bit more of a security blanket. Maybe see what Laviska Shenault can do. Kind of in that Debo Samuel type role, which we've talked about Laviska Shenault for the past couple of years doing, but I mean, just really has never really fit into that role. Wasn't in Jacksonville, neither here. But well, I want to talk about the tight end over in Atlanta and Kyle Pitts, who, I mean, going into his draft year was like, this guy's going to be generational. He really hasn't seen that success. He goes out there. He's the leading receiver on the team first off in week one, but it's really not too exciting. He has two grabs for 44 yards. And a team with Bijan Robinson, you mentioned Tyler Allgeier even as the backup running back who's pretty young. You got Drake London. You got Kyle Pitts. Well, what kind of movement do we see them making throughout the year with this young core? Is this a team that isn't going to sprout again like we were maybe expecting them to do last year and they kind of slacked off? Do we see that happening again? Or do we see Kyle Pitts finally stepping up after a tough week one and carrying on through the season, maybe making a Pro Bowl?
I mean, this is a big year for Kyle Pitts, given that last year was pretty disappointing, I would say. I mean, he did have that big play during the game against the Panthers on Sunday. I really think they need to start you don't want to start forcing the ball to someone, but I think they need to get the ball in his hands a little bit more. I think they need to maybe get some more plays designed for him, especially on like short downs and stuff, and like more in like the in the red zone and stuff like that. I know they have their running back tandem. That looks amazing out there. And their young core actually isn't that bad. I mean, Ridder is going to be Ridder. I don't think you can expect him to be amazing, but I think in certain games he'll show some promise or whatnot. But I think, like Stav said, the defense isn't awful. Like, this team isn't that bad. And I think they're going to be competing with the Saints up there for the division. I don't think they're going to win it, but I think they have a shot at it if this team really develops and finds themselves this year.
Yeah, a lot of young potential. I mean, I feel like we all trust Bijan Robinson over there. It's about how Drake London and about how Kyle Pitts step up. And, you know, especially that second-year quarterback, Desmond Ridder. I do want to say that we did all hit that spread of Atlanta -3.5 in that game. So shout out to us. How about we move on to the next game where none of us hit the spread of Houston +10 as they lost 25-9 to the Baltimore Ravens, and a good start to the season for Lamar Jackson as he leads his team in rushing. And I want to say against a tough Houston Texans defense, I kind of like the way that they played defense in this game. And CJ Stroud goes out there, doesn't get his first career touchdown, but does add 240 yards to his total. Stav, instant opening reactions to the rookie quarterback?
He's kind of put in a bad spot. Opening your career against the Baltimore Ravens on the road isn't really the best way to start your career. John Harbaugh, I feel like, is one of those coaches like a Bill Belichick or like, I'm going to say, the 49ers defense, where you don't want to start your career against them and you don't want to play them as a rookie because they're going to make you make mistakes. And that's exactly what the Baltimore Ravens did with CJ Stroud. If you look at just his stat line, it's not bad. He went 28-44, threw for over 200 yards, but he did fumble. He had a few bad throws. They didn't get into the end zone. But it's just a tough situation to be in. Baltimore has a pretty good defense. I think that they have the second best linebacking tandem in the NFL behind the 49ers. I mean, Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith are unbelievable. and they fly around the field. You basically have safeties playing linebacker with those that speed. The Ravens did get a lot of injuries this game, though, which is unfortunate to see. But I liked how the defense played for the Ravens. I wanted to see a little bit more in the passing attack from the Ravens, though, on offense.
Yeah, and what we did see from them was Zay Flowers. And with 9 grabs, 78 yards, didn't add his first career NFL touchdown. But in this game, when I was watching it, and I didn't have it on one of my TVs, but it was on Red Zone often, and I was just kind of waiting to see how involved they were going to get Odell. And Odell only grabbed 2 balls, didn't seem to do that much. Someone that was surprising me was Rashad Bateman with a few grabs himself. I'm hoping that he can step up on that and, you know, continue to produce for this team, because in my opinion, the potential that that team has of a Odell Beckham, Rashad Bateman, and Zay Flowers wide receiver room. You add Mark Andrews when he comes back with Isaiah Likely, who's probably top 3 or 4 backup tight ends in this league. They're starting to show some promise for weapons with Lamar Jackson. And I want to say probably one of the best offenses on paper potentially for this team, targets wise for Lamar Jackson, because I don't remember a time where I can be like, oh, there's 3 or 4 guys on this field that are straight weapons for this team other than Lamar. You remember the days, his MVP season before he even had JK, it was just him. Or at least That's what it felt like. I'm hoping if Odell can step back up and, you know, he's been through a lot of injuries, maybe be that veteran guy who's not going to, you know, lead the team in receiving, but be that guy who's a trustworthy guy, going to go up, make a couple big plays throughout this run. Rashad Bateman maybe being a speedster that people surprised, and Zay Flowers, I mean, potentially being a wide receiver one on this team, because what he did, he looked so shifty. People could not tackle him. We're talking about rookie debuts on this episode, and Will, we said it on the last episode, I have never seen that man do anything like that, because when we went to go watch BC versus Syracuse last year, I don't remember catching him I don't remember him catching a football in this game. And then he goes out in his debut, grabs 9 balls, 78 yards. I mean, that's, I guess, what all the draft hype was about. Am I right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I would say going into Sunday, I think he was probably one of the guys that I was more excited to see what he was going to do. Obviously, we have our first, second, third picks that everyone's going to be looking at. But I think Zay Flowers is in an interesting situation, especially with Lamar Jackson being his quarterback. And, I mean, it showed on Sunday. The game was a little sloppy at some points, which was kind of weird. I don't know. Like, I feel like on Red Zone, I was watching just fumble interception, like back and back for like at least a 5-minute span. But when they showed Zay Flowers getting out there, no one could tackle him. He was running through the defense like crazy. I mean, I'd say you can expect a lot of things from him this year. I think he fits really well with their scheme, because literally they just have fast players on their team. That's their whole style.
Which could work, because, you know, we talked about the receivers. We talked about a lot of pieces of this team, Lamar Jackson, especially what he can do in the air and on the ground. But how about that running back room with, I mean, 3 guys going, Gus Edwards. You obviously had J.K. Dobbins. And then how about Justice Hill adding 2 touchdowns in a game? Who was expecting that week one? And week one was a little bit of a mess all around the league. And I would probably say, how about the messiest game here? We're going to keep it in the AFC North between Cleveland and Cincinnati. I mean, it was an absolute disgusting game. Stav, I'm going to kick it right to you. You were the only one that took Cleveland spread-wise, so I'm going to hand it over to you.
I'm going to compare this game to last year's 49ers opening game against the Bears when they played in that monsoon, and it really didn't affect that team long-term. I'm going to put that in the same boat. I don't think that this Bengals team is in any sort of trouble. I don't want to say it was a tune-up game, but you didn't have Joe Burrow all offseason. This is his first real action he's had since last year's AFC Championship game. So it's going to take some time for this offense to gel. I'm not worried about this Bengals team long-term. And on the other side of the ball, the Browns did their job. They played well. Their defense flew around. Myles Garrett is as good as we all think Myles Garrett is. Nick Chubb added 100 yards on the ground, and Deshaun Watson looked like an NFL quarterback. I know he threw that really bad interception, but you couldn't really tell how badly it was raining there on TV. And then when they zoom
four.
Exactly. When they would zoom in on the field, you could just see that it was, I don't want to say it was unplayable conditions, because football weather is every single type of weather. But that's a hard game to play in, and that's a hard game to throw a football in. And Deshaun Watson managed, and they won by 21 points. The Bengals pulled their starters with 10 minutes left in the fourth.
Yeah, what I loved what the Browns did in this game is obviously being at home, playing against the conditions, taking that all into account and using that in your favor. And they jumped right on the Cincinnati Bengals, and they never gave them a chance from the start of the game on. I mean, it was really like for a couple of drives, it was back and forth. It was like, oh, my God, this weather's terrible. Neither of these offenses are going to do anything. And then the Browns kind of got a little bit out there. They scored a few points, and from there on out, it was over. There was never a doubt. Joe Burrow, I mean, he was the one that was making it look like the conditions were unplayable in that game. Like every single time, it reminded me of LeBron James. It was like, how do you complain about the weather? It's the weather. You cannot control the weather. He was like, I didn't like that for my dynasty quarterback, but nobody cares about my fantasy team. Just an absolute washout of a game. But you did bring up a certain guy looking like an NFL quarterback. That's Deshaun Watson. He grabbed 150 yards in the air, which isn't bad considering the conditions. Added a touchdown, obviously, through that terrible pick. But added, I think, around 50 yards on the ground and ran one in for a touchdown. And we talked about this team and such a tough AFC North. Will, am I wrong for saying that this is the team that's built for that division? You know how we always talk about the AFC North, it's such a gritty, like hard-nosed division. This kind of looks like the definition of it. I'd be scared of this team in the long run.
They're built like a team you're going to hate to see on your schedule this year. You're gonna see the Browns. You're gonna be like, you don't really know what they're gonna like. Obviously, we saw what they can bring to the table week one. They're a very good team, but you also there's still a lot of question marks because it is only week one. We don't know how consistent Deshaun Watson's gonna be. I mean, he looked pretty good. Obviously, Chubb got it done in the running game. Myles Garrett was a beast all game long. But obviously, I mean, the Bengals just didn't have it at all. And I did like what they did when they took out their players and with 10 minutes left. I think you have to protect them at all costs at that point. It's a sloppy game. That game was built for someone to get hurt at that point, especially in the Bengals situation. But, I mean, I think coming into week two, we got to see what they really do as a team to really kind of judge them more. But, I mean, right now I'd say they're a big threat in that division.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, I mean, talking about how they fit into that division, how about how that game fit into that division? That was a classic AFC North matchup.
You couldn't ask for more in that division. Like, that's what you want to watch when you watch the AFC North.
You're right. And I'm going to move on to a game that kind of reminds me of the AFC South of old. Maybe Maurice Jones-Drew Day. As the Colts took on the Jacksonville Jaguars in what actually turned out to be a fantastic game, at least in my opinion. The Jags handled them, won by 10 points, covered the spread. Shout out all of us. It's an earthquake. Everybody hit on the Jags. And, I mean, either way, I love the way that Indy played in this game. I thought Anthony Richardson surprised me. He went out late in this game, kind of more of just a protection thing where he kind of got shaken up and they're like, let's not take any risk. Gardner Minshew went in there, didn't do much. I think they just ran with him. But Anthony Richardson, 40 yards on the ground, 223 in the air, threw for a touchdown, ran for a touchdown. Obviously, the Colts lost by 10, Stav. But, I mean, while we're considering all these rookies in week one, are we going to say that this is the best rookie debut?
Yeah, 100%. He looked the most NFL ready out of the other quarterbacks. Nothing really fazed him. I know he kind of turned the ball over, but he ran the ball well. He ran the ball physical, which could also be his downfall, in which he did get banged up at the end of this game. He should be fine going forward, but he played well. And this, if you look at the Colts offense, they really don't have much talent. I mean, Michael Pittman did his thing. I think he had 97 yards and he added a touchdown off of a screen. But the rest of that offense doesn't really impress me. I mean, you have Alec Pierce, who's a decent wide receiver too, but it's not someone the defense really has to game plan for. And no disrespect, whatever, but Anthony Richardson did the best with the situation that he was given. He outperformed what I thought he would. And he's making a strong early case for offensive rookie of the year. Next is Zay Flowers.
Yeah, I mean, that you're right. Those two up there on the AFC side had a terrific week one. I would put those two guys probably at the top. But how about we talk about the team that won it in the divisional matchup with the Jacksonville Jaguars? Trevor Lawrence came out there, threw for 240 yards, added two touchdowns to the total. ETN was running the ball. Stav's lock of the week. That's right. And I guess, you know, we'll get to our other games, but Stav 1-0, me and Will 0-1, we'll get to our game. Stav in the early lead for the free jersey. Shout out my free jersey. I got, if you're watching the YouTube, you saw it. If not, I'm not going to tell you what it is. But that don't let me get started on this episode. let me get back to the Jags. I do want to say, Will, I'm going to pass it over to you right after I say it. The most important guy on this team and the guy that really stood out and should have stood out to everybody was Calvin Ridley.
I mean, you're right. Bet on himself, and look what he did. Came out there on fire. I mean, I loved what this Jags team did. It was an exciting game. I mean, I couldn't ask for much more watching this. I didn't think this was going to be a good game at all. I mean, I didn't know what to expect from the Colts. Anthony Richardson did his thing. He looked fantastic out there. But, I mean, Trevor Lawrence looked good. The whole team just looked really put together on offense. They have a really deep team on offense now with Ridley out there doing his thing. I mean, they're a dangerous team this year. They're a team to look out for. I'm expecting big things from them. Obviously, they're going to clean up the division. That shouldn't be a question. But we'll see what they can do come playoff time, because they're definitely going to be there.
And Stav, you obviously had a few people in this organization winning some awards as your preseason predictions. Trevor Lawrence, one of those guys you have up there at MVP in the race. And I just want to say that they have a lot of weapons. And I want to ask you, when it comes down to it, who is that guy that you think is really going to stand out for this team and be the reason that they push on? Who's going to be this wide receiver one? Who's going to be this top threat? Is it going to be their tight end and going back to the security blanket, kind of like how they did last year? Is it going to be through the run game, or is it going to be someone like a Calvin Ridley?
Well, Calvin Ridley's probably the most explosive player on this offense, but I think a big wild card for this offense is Tank Bigsby. That's not a name I don't think you guys would expect to hear, but he complements Travis Etienne very well, who's also an excellent running back. Kind of the theme of this episode, running back duos. The run game sets up the pass, and we saw a lot of Calvin Ridley. We didn't really see much of Christian Kirk this week. We saw some of Evan Ingram, but long answer short, Calvin Ridley's the wide receiver one, and these running backs need to – if the running backs play well, this offense has potential to be top five in the league.
Definitely, and we know how important the run game is, controlling the clock is in the NFL. And, I mean, while you're talking about the theme of episodes, running back duos, rookie debuts, Tank Bigsby didn't really do anything, I mean, mind-blowing in his debut, but looked good running, had a few tough runs, didn't look too bad at all. And if we want to talk about some people that did look too bad, how about we move on to the Minnesota Vikings dropping their home opener, their season opener, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Baker Mayfield 1-0 this season, and Tampa Bay coming out with a very tough win, a conference opponent. Mike Evans goes out there, grabs a touchdown. Trey Palmer had a touchdown. They didn't really do much on the ground. Neither did Minnesota, as Alexander Mattison, who's filling in some big shoes, doesn't really look that special. And I mean, who do we want to talk about first? Do we want to talk about how bad the Vikings looked, or how good the Bucs looked?
I love the Bucs. They surprised me. We all have Minnesota in this game, but Tampa Bay surprised me. And Baker Mayfield played his style of football. He's a tough player. He's a leader. Regardless of the environment he's in, I feel like he's going to get the locker room to buy into what he's trying to do and how he plays football. He threw, like you said, to Mike Evans, had a touchdown, which is the least surprising thing ever. Mike Evans can play with any quarterback that's in the NFL. Exactly. But Baker's tough, and I love to see that. That's the type of quarterback that you want to have on your team, and he's someone who's going to lead this group in a wide open NFC South, and no one's really talking about this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. That defense is very good. Their secondary is very good. They have good linebackers. I really do like this Tampa Bay team, and if Baker Mayfield can kind of just play the game manager role and be a leader of that locker room, they could easily win the NFC South. I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever.
I mean, yeah, no, this team looked really good. They were probably one of the bigger surprises this week, I would say, if not on Sunday. I was not expecting this at all. I mean, obviously, I did have the Vikings. I didn't really know what to expect going into this, but I definitely didn't expect the Bucks kind of – I didn't really expect the Vikings coming out that flat. Like, they didn't look good at all. But, I mean, I think you're right, Stav. The Bucks are – I think they're going to be in line to win that division, if not maybe possibly even favorite.
You know, and all we've really talked about the Buccaneers is about who they have at quarterback. But what we really forgot about the whole time was who they have on the defensive side of the ball. That defense has been and will be terrific. They were awesome in this game, in my opinion. And we're forgetting about people like Devin White and Levante David and Antoine Winfield Jr. I think, did he have a sack in this game?
I think he had an interception too.
I mean, he had a sack. And Isaiah had the pick in the game. Kirk Cousins still added 344 yards, and I know Justin Jefferson had a ton of yards as well. He didn't score, though. But, I mean, that opens up the NFC North after a game like that, a team like that coming out so flat. And I want to skip a game in our little doc here so we can keep it in the NFC North. If that's cool, and then we'll go back to that top game between the Bears and the Packers because, in my opinion – that was one of the better games of this week. And Stav, you were the only one correct with the spread. You had Green Bay in this game, and Green Bay came out there, and they looked really good. Jordan Love shined in a game where, I mean, you're stepping into some big, big shoes. I want to talk about Alexander Mattison. How about I talk about what kind of expectations Jordan Love has going into this game? You have to go into Chicago, a tough opponent, a rival, the oldest rivalry in football, and you go out there and you win the football game easily. I mean, it was awesome. Everybody's talking about Justin Fields. Everybody's talking about the Bears. Everybody's talking about how they're going to take the step up this year. How about what Jordan Love did? How about what Christian Watson did in this game?
Jordan, the offense that we're seeing out of Green Bay is what – this is Matt LaFleur's offense. With Aaron Rodgers there, it was kind of formed around him, but now this is how LaFleur likes to call plays. Jordan Love stepped in and did an excellent job. He took care of the football. He threw for 3 touchdowns, I believe. Yes. 2 of them being to Romeo Doubs. And
did I say Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs?
You said Watson.
I meant to say Doubs.
And Aaron Jones played well, and he ran the ball well and scored, I think, 2 touchdowns himself. Long story short, the Packers own Chicago. And regardless of who's in that quarterback, regardless of who's on the Packers, the Green Bay Packers own the Chicago Bears. I don't remember the last time the Bears beat the Packers, but it wasn't really surprising to me to see Jordan Love be the quarterback that we expect him to be. And this 2021 draft class, or was it the 2020 draft class of quarterbacks? It was a 2020 draft class.
I think it was 2021. Or was it 2020 COVID?
I think it was COVID. The COVID year. Because it's the Burrow, Herbert, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts draft class. That has potential to be the best quarterback draft class of all time. Each of those quarterbacks is pretty special. And if Jordan Love can kind of just win football games, if he can just compete, then this Packers team is going to be in a good spot to win the NFC North along with the Detroit Lions because they have a very good roster. They have a good offense, and they were missing Christian Watson this week. They didn't even have their wide receiver one and you still put up 38 points. That's a really good sign, and this defense looked elite. Their linebackers look great. Jair Alexander is one of the best corners in the league. I'm excited to see how this Packers team does. I think Jordan Love has a great opportunity ahead of him.
Yeah, no, and I saw a tweet that it said, if Aaron Rodgers owns Soldier Field, then Jordan Love just rented it out on Airbnb. And that was the case in this game. I always talk about the Yankees. I always use this phrase, but I do just want to say, I mean, terrible field, terrible team, terrible organization. Honestly, the Chicago Bears have never been good. They'll never be good. And it's sad to see this. This was supposed to be the passing of the torch, but boy, do I like the way that the Green Bay Packers looked in this game. Well,
I mean, yeah, I think Packers came out, did a lot more than what I thought they were going to do, especially with Jordan Love. But I really want to talk about the Bears in this game because I feel like they had a lot of expectations going into the season. And I feel like they were not really up there with the same expectations that the Lions had, but they're still around the same expectations that the Packers had in the season. And that was probably to fight for the division now that it's kind of open without Aaron Rodgers there. The Vikings lose Dalvin Cook. It's kind of all the big mashup going on in that division. And they looked like the same old Chicago Bears, and that's honestly very disappointing, especially playing as a division opponent first week. I don't know what to expect from them for the rest of the year, but if they still play like this, can't really chalk them up to do too much.
Yeah, and I mean, it's always tough playing a division opponent first week, so can't really say too much about them. And I guess I'll transition there because I don't want to say too much about this game between the Washington Commanders and the Arizona Cardinals.
I'm pissed off with the Commanders. I really thought that they would come out and blow out the Cardinals.
Oh, we all did. We had their spread.
Yeah, we all lost it. With the hype around, I don't want to say the Commanders team, but around the organization with this.
Just a lot of like,
yeah,
there was high energy, good energy.
It felt like one of those games where the Commanders would come out flying, and they kind of laid a dud. They ended up winning, which is good, but Cardinals are awful. The Cardinals are not good.
Terrible.
And maybe we jumped the gun on Jonathan Gannon as a head coach because that defense came ready to play. I know it was against the Commanders who have Sam Howell at quarterback, but that defense looked good. They forced some turnovers. I think they picked them off and they forced two fumbles, which is good. That's what you want out of the, if you're the Cardinals. You know, you're not going to win many games. You'll probably end up with the first pick that the Texans have. So that's terrible. But yeah, I mean, the Cardinals are,
yeah,
but
it's like somehow became a game, and I like don't really understand the cow. I obviously didn't put this game on to watch, only saw it on Red Zone, saw like the initial like kickoff, didn't see anything, and then all of a sudden it was just on Red Zone because it became like a close game, and I was like, what is actually happening here? I was expecting it to be on Red Zone and just seeing the Commanders up like 20 on them.
For some reason, I actually had this game on one of my TV setup. And it was the only thing that I noticed was the front. You know how the Cardinals have new uniforms? The front of the uniforms I hate, but the back of the uniforms are so clean. Like there's like the back of the jersey has like the little Cardinal outline and then the number outline. It looks so clean, but the front is just ugly. That's all I could think about the whole game. Like I didn't even realize what was going on in the game. I knew that the Commanders were winning, and then they didn't cover the spread. I looked at my DraftKings, and I saw that I didn't hit that bet. So, I mean, that was about all I noticed from that game.
I didn't love the red on red either. It just didn't look good.
Bad uniform matchup.
Yeah.
Yes, all time, all time. Stop, want to take us to the next?
Yeah, I guess so. The New England Patriots fall to the Philadelphia Eagles after a horrific start. That's really what the difference was in this game. First 5 minutes were probably as bad of a start to a season that you could have. Eagles went right down the field. Defense bent, but they didn't break. Held them to three. Patriots get the ball. Mac Jones throws a pick six. Deflected off of Kendrick Bourne's hands. Darius Slay made the play. That's why they call him Big Play Slay. Next drive. First play of the drive. They throw a screen to Ezekiel Elliott, one of his first touches on the season. He gets tripped by Jordan Davis. And then the Eagles go right down the field and score a touchdown. They go down 16-0. This had blowout material written all over it. And then the start of the second quarter happened, and the offense started to click. They drove down the field. Mac Jones hit Hunter Henry in the end zone for – it was a great ball after a great drive, and they kind of got them back into the game. So I'm not going to go drive by fucking drive, but things that really stood out to me, was how this team responded to the adversity. I feel like last year we would have saw this team just crumble after the first quarter. They probably would have lost 35-7. We can clearly see how Bill O'Brien knows what he's doing, and we can clearly see how confident Mac Jones is with his arm this year and with the system around him. Because this Mac Jones effort of 316 yards and three touchdowns is something that we've been waiting to see since his rookie year. Last year, we didn't see this at all, other than Thanksgiving night against one of the worst defenses in the league, against the Minnesota Vikings. But this is against the reigning NFC champion, who have one of the best defenses and one of the best defensive lines in the entire NFL. The offensive line also played well, considering that your two starting offensive guards were out. I loved how the defense flew around. They limited Jalen Hurts, and I think that the Patriots are going to compete throughout the year. Whether or not they make the playoffs, now that we saw some shakeup in the AFC East with what happened in last Monday night's game, I think that the Patriots' win total is probably going to go up. It started at 6.5 at kickoff. It's probably going to go up to 8.5 by the end of that game. That's kind of the takeaways I had. I'm happy. I hate moral victories, but I'm happy with how the team responded to the shit and start.
I just wanted to say that I thought that this was probably a top three Mac Jones performance that I've seen in his career. Like, I mean, obviously it was a loss, but it was a 5-point loss to the team that was in the Super Bowl last year. And you go out there, you throw for three touchdowns, and the run game isn't really working because you're playing against one of the best run defenses in the league. So how about you connect with Kendrick Bourne six times and you dump down to Stevenson six times? Henry grabs five, DeMario Douglas, a rookie, grabs four. I mean, very evenly split. A lot of guys, three guys had over 50 yards receiving. Even more than that, had double-digit receiving yards. It was overall a very good passing attack. And to do it against a defense like that and a corner like that and Darius Slay, who we saw make some fantastic grabs, was a good sign, in my opinion, for this Patriots team.
Two more notes before. If you guys wanted to add anything, this game could have ended in a Patriots win if Kayshon Boutte realized he played in the NFL and not in college, because that's my guy. But twice, when there was one on third and 20 or third and 12, I'm sorry, in the third quarter, where Mac Jones threw an absolute strike to him and he only got 1 foot down. It was an easy toe tap. He just didn't get the second foot down. And then in the fourth quarter, when they were driving to take the lead on fourth down, Mac threw another strike to him on the left sideline, probably at the 5-yard line, and he couldn't drag the second foot. They get that first down there, they probably win that game. And then the second note I wanted to bring up, Christian Gonzalez looked like a first-round corner. He made some great plays. He ended up with a sack, and he ended up with a pass breakup on fourth down, which is one of the better plays I've seen out of a corner like that. He's going to be matched up with wide receiver ones all year. Elite receivers such as Stephon Diggs, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, blah, blah, blah. I can go on forever. But this was a good first test for him. I think he passed the first test. He played excellent along with the rest of that defense.
I mean, I was going to comment on Kayshon Boutte not getting that second foot in. I mean, that game started off and I was just like, I honestly was in a state of just shock again, because I was like, no way we start the season the way we pretty much finished last season in the same like shitty spot. And obviously progressed through the game. I mean, I'm happy with it. I'm happy with the loss. I don't love saying that, but I am. They looked a lot better. I think I even texted Stav during the game when Mac Jones threw a ball for over like 10 yards. And I was like, holy shit, he can actually do that. And like, it like felt good to see like they were competent and they were out there. It honestly, even though we lost, I enjoyed the loss in a way. Like, there's a lot of takeaways that you can take from a game like that. They were in the Super Bowl, like you said. I think overall, I think they, like, moving forward, take that loss with a grain of salt and move on, because they're on pace to do possibly some good things this year. I think they're going to be really good.
Yeah, the defense looked good. Yeah, the defense looked good, and the offense was what the question marks were really coming from. And
what a hit by Jabril Peppers, too. That was insane.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I chalk it up as a moral victory. As we move on to the next game, we have the Broncos and the Raiders. Russell Wilson, supposed to be coming back off a big year, loses 0-1. The Raiders, Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, they won. Like, I don't.
Yeah, that game wasn't. That game was the game that was just never on red zone, other than the opening kickoff where Sean Payton went for the onside kick. Russell Wilson ended the first half great. He had a great stat line at halftime, and then it all just kind of crumbled in the second half. They couldn't really get anything going. I want to chalk that up to not having Jerry Jeudy, but you can't really pin it on him. It's just a tough game against a divisional opponent in which Devontae Adams kind of did his thing. It was just a mid game. I really don't have much to say about this game.
No, stupid game. How we'll move on to the next.
Yeah.
All right. In this game that I guess I'm going to self-proclaim game of the week. I don't know if you guys agree. Will, you're wearing the jersey. You have the honors covering the Chargers against the Dolphins.
Well, obviously, I can go here and talk about the Dolphins just putting things together, looking like an amazing team. Tua looked amazing. I was very disappointed watching that game to start off with. One, obviously, watching as a Chargers fan, that situation, they came out. They didn't look great. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say it right now. They didn't look great. I didn't like what the offense was doing. It looked very bland. It felt like midway through last year, towards the end of last year, where it was just like, keep feeding it to Eckler. And like the passes were all just like, they weren't. I felt like last year they had a lot of more plays where they were progressing further down the field, finding Keenan Allen, finding Mike Williams deep down the field, and they were open and creating plays that way and using Eckler on the ground a lot more and on those screen passes being more effective that way. And all of that looked really bad. The defense was kind of skeptical, obviously, given the score of the game. Over was slammed, but the Dolphins did their thing, and they're going to be a scary team this year. Tua looked really, really good, which kind of surprised me. I didn't really know what to expect. Obviously, last year was an interesting year for him, given all the injuries. And Tyreek Hill, I don't have words for that performance on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, insane. 215 yards, 2 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill is, I feel like every year we kind of expect him, you know, we hear a lot about him. And when you hear about a player nowadays, I feel like it's never a good thing. So going into like last year, going into this year, especially, I wasn't expecting anything like this out of week one Tyreek Hill, but that's what we got. And Tua to throw 460 yards and Tyreek Hill obviously to get in the end zone twice. Stav, do we see this as something that, like, can be maintained throughout the course of the season? Or what are we thinking of the Dolphins? Is this going to be a team that, you know, is Tyreek Hill going to set records? Is Tua going to set records? Especially if they can't run the ball, what's going to happen here?
I think it's going to mellow out. Excuse me. Tyreek's obviously probably a top 5 receiver in the league. I just don't think the Chargers defense is good. They look terrible defensively. That defense this year, regardless of the talent that they have, might be a bottom 5 defense in the league. It just doesn't look like they're in the right spots at all times. And their game plan against Tyreek Hill was questionable at best. You're going single coverage against Tyreek Hill the entire game. Of course he's going to get 200 yards on you. He's the fastest player in the NFL. Jeez. It didn't make much sense to me. I don't know why you wouldn't put your corner – or whoever would be covering him, Asante Samuel or J.C. Jackson, with safety help over the top. That's how you have to defend this team. And this team did an excellent job of defending the Dolphins last year by clogging the middle of the defense, bringing Derwin James down into the box, pressing at the line of scrimmage. And they didn't do that this year. They just kind of let the Dolphins do whatever they want. They forced a few turnovers, but those were kind of just more mistakes on Tua's part compared to forced turnovers by the defense. I'm very discouraged with how this Chargers defense played. The offense was okay. Like Will said, Eckler did his thing receiving and on the ground. He scored a touchdown. Keenan Allen had 76 yards. They didn't really get Mike Williams involved. We'll see where this team can go, because as we saw in week one, the AFC West is kind of open. The Chiefs will probably win, but the rest of these teams in the AFC West aren't really that good. We talked about the Raiders and the Broncos. That game was just kind of a mid game. The Chargers really have an opportunity to finish second in that division, maybe even first, if they can figure out the defense. If they don't figure out the defense, this team could finish last in the division.
Definitely, definitely. And the worst part is I feel like at least the last two times that the Chargers played the Dolphins, the Chargers won. And it's kind of turning into a thing where, like, okay, Tua went fifth, Herbo went sixth. Like, those guys are kind of easily compared. So Tua going out like there and us being a Bolt podcast, us being a Justin Herbert podcast, not a good look. Not a good look for our boy. And just not what you want to see. And I want to carry on the miserableness of not good looks here for my own team. First off, I just want to say, why would you screw us over giving us a divisional opponent that early in the year? Automatically, I think we're going to kill them, and we never do. The Seahawks lost to the Rams, if you guys did not know, and I have a few things to say about it. First off, Geno Smith didn't look bad. I know his numbers aren't that great, but you know why? Because we don't give him that freedom. And, you know, to go out there, 16 for 26, 112 yards, he threw a touchdown, no picks, clean slate. Why not? Sure. What I didn't like was the amount of offensive plays that we ran. We didn't run any, it felt like. The Rams were in possession of the ball. It felt like maybe 75, 80% of the game. I know that's not true. That's what it felt like. That's one. Second, the Rams knew exactly how to beat us. I knew going into the season that through watching the preseason games, our run defense was going to be fine because of Jordan Brooks and Bobby Wagner, our two linebackers. They did a fantastic job of stuffing up the run. And it was all about how we could defend the pass, and they beat us perfectly. They threw the ball down the field, and then once they got into position where they're around the goal line, they ran the ball in because they know that we don't have any interior D linemen. We rely on our middle linebackers for run support. Boom. Perfect. They drew up a perfect offensive game plan. Second off, you got to get a little bit of luck in this league. And how about Puka Nacua, who I don't even know who that is, kid from BYU, just found out about him this weekend when he torched my team for 10 receptions, 119 yards on Sunday. He was phenomenal. And by the second quarter, he had Tariq Woolen on him. Like, we finally made the switch, made the transition. We were like, okay, let's take Kobe off him, put Tariq Woolen on Puka Nacua. Didn't matter. Cooked him too. Tutu Atwell added another 120 yards himself. Just absolute abysmal. That's probably one of the worst receiver rooms the Seahawks are going to see this whole season. And they got torched. So, not a good sign. I just got my Kenneth Walker jersey. For everybody that's on YouTube, I like the way that he played in this game. And he didn't run for 100 yards, but he ran hard, made some good moves. But I want to keep it in the running back room. Zach Charbonnet, I only saw him on the field about three times. Not a good sign. Didn't like that at all. Hopefully he will progress. Last person I want to mention, Jackson Smith and Jigba, but kind of the same thing. Didn't really get that much of a role. But Tyler Lockett dealing with a few injuries, we should see him to kind of ramp up, get a few more touches next week. I'm not upset with the defense. I'm upset with our coaching staff. We all took Seattle spread, and they got blown out of the water.
Matthew Stafford looked like a surgeon in this game. He made that receiving corps look good. He had some great throws. Aaron Donald is Aaron Donald. It's kind of like one of those things that if we want to talk about how good Myles Garrett is and how much of an impact he has for the Browns, Aaron Donald has more of an impact for this Rams defense. You look at the Rams defense, they really don't have much talent there outside of Aaron Donald. But they played well. It's a good start for the Rams. If they can keep afloat until Cooper Kupp comes back, that might be a sneaky team to look out for to sneak into a wild card spot. I really don't trust them to keep up long-term success, because I don't think this defense that talented, but it's something to keep your eye on.
Definitely.
I watched that game a good amount. I just don't feel like I feel like it was more of kind of a flukier game from the Seahawks just losing that game. I feel like they had a lot more to bring to the table, obviously, than the Rams do this year. Aaron Donald did his thing, as we expect, but I think even with Cooper Kupp back, I just don't feel like Matthew Stafford's going to be that consistent throughout the year to really lead them anywhere. And we didn't really get to it, but the 49ers looked amazing. So I don't really know how I feel about the Rams really sneaking in that division.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, just a bad loss from Seattle. And I kind of want to get off the topic. How about we get into the night games? We'll start here on Sunday night with just an absolute whomping, the Dallas Cowboys. And instant reaction, Super Bowl or bust?
Yes. They have, I think, the most complete team in the NFL looking at it last night. Two nights ago. That defense, obviously, I mean, the Giants' offensive line was actually atrocious. So, I mean, I can't really give them that much more credit because, like that, they look actually awful. But the Cowboys' defense was amazing, and I think they can do that to a lot of teams in this league. And I think that defense can hold up to that stand, not to a 40-point shutout, but to around that standard where they're not going to let up a lot of points. And Dak off the field the most amount of times is going to help them succeed this year. I mean, I do think Dak looked decent. I think if he comes in, finds himself a little bit better, I think that team is going to look really, really good offensively. I liked what they did. The defense obviously carried. That's the storyline of the game. It's just what we see next week, because I don't think that's going to stay consistent on the defensive side to that level. But offense needs to show up at some point for them, and that's the true test. But I think they have the most complete team in the NFL right now.
Yeah, you saw the acquisitions that they made this offseason really pan out, especially Stephon Gilmore on the opposite side of Trayvon Diggs. I know the Giants really don't have the best receiving core in the NFL, but they really had nothing. They had nowhere to throw. By the time anyone could even possibly be open, the defensive line for the Cowboys was in Daniel Jones' pocket, and they couldn't really make a play. The Giants got completely embarrassed at home to open the season. Another game with kind of shitty conditions, but the Cowboys really didn't seem affected by it. Tony Pollard had a really good game rushing the ball. Dak Prescott hit a lot of open receivers, and he looked more confident. He wasn't – a lot of the interceptions that he threw last year were taking shots down the field. And when you see him kind of play into his strengths of I don't want to say a game manager, but protecting the football, that's what he did, and that's what – look at what this offense could do. I know that the Cowboys scored two defensive touchdowns. They blocked a kick. They had a few interceptions. They forced some fumbles, but – when you have an elite defense, as the Dallas Cowboys do, all you need is a quarterback just not to turn the ball over, and you're in a prime position to win games. And for them to open up a season like this, that's all you can want as a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Definitely. And, I mean, a good way to start off against a divisional opponent and a team that has some expectations going into this year. What's Daniel Jones going to do? What's Saquon going to do to earn this big contract to break up this running back dispute? What are we expecting out of this receiving core from New York? And after that, I would say expect nothing. Darren Waller is Darren Waller, obviously. But other than that, they don't really have any guys that are going to be real bright spots. Hopefully Jalen Hyatt can step into a position as a rookie to really stand out, maybe be a wide receiver one for this team. But Darius Slayton, Isaiah Hodgins, Lawrence Cager, those guys aren't going to do it for you. So it's not a good look for New York, and I'm not really high on them this year, especially after that. And I know that a team could obviously bounce back. I don't know how much I expected from the New York Giants, especially – you know, they play the Cardinals next week, and then after that they go out and play the 49ers. So they can easily win next week. If they don't win next week, then they're going to play the Niners, the Seahawks, the Dolphins, then the Bills. I mean, though, that's one way to start a season 0-6. They need to go out there and beat the Cardinals next week to have any sort of life for the season. Very bad start to the year. Not how you want to look forward to a season. I mean, losing 40-0, that was the worst loss of the week. Or was it, as on Monday night, the New York Football Jets lost their quarterback in Aaron Rodgers? It's sounding, is it official? He's out for the season?
Yeah, they ruled
it. What an absolute story. What an absolute guy. What an absolute City, even though it's not New York City still. Just, I mean, so unfortunate, but they go out and they win the game. That's the worst part. They didn't ruin the spread. They went out there and they won the game. Zach Wilson looked, in my opinion, awful still. I didn't like the way that he played. They went out, obviously they won the game, and that's all that matters. The Bills, it was really more about how bad the Bills looked. Josh Allen threw three picks, all three of them to Jordan Whitehead. Will told me some information before we hopped on the recording about this.
He was the only player ever to hit an incentive in week one. Ever.
Yeah.
He hit his three interception incentive and got $250,000, which is absurd.
Imagine that.
And absurd this game was, because especially after Aaron Rodgers going down, and not only going down three official plays into the game, because one of them was a penalty. First drive of the game, he goes down. Zach Wilson steps in. Breece Hall steps up. And we're talking about duos. Breece Hall broke one out for 83 yards. You could clearly tell he's coming off an ACL after getting tracked down on that. But still, you can see the explosiveness. You can tell that throughout the remainder of the season, that speed, that agility is going to get up there, and he's going to be something special. He's fantastic. Breece Hall is earning his spot as running back one and having Dalvin Cook play behind him. That's what he's trying to do right now. The receiving core didn't look too bad, but didn't look fantastic. It's hard to judge when Zach Wilson's your quarterback, and Garrett Wilson caught a crazy touchdown. That was insane. And he's trying to make a case for offensive player of the year. That wasn't a great start. And I mean, just looking through it, seeing, you know, this is you guys' division. The quarterback of this team that won the game is out. The quarterback of the team that lost the game threw three picks, and he's supposed to be the best quarterback in the division. And then you obviously saw what Miami did. If this is the case of the season, do you guys – I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I clearly see a path for a Patriots wild card.
100%. Shout out Josh Allen throwing three picks for DeMar Hamlin. Prayers for DeMar. But I 100% see where this team is going with it. I can see the Patriots making a run, and especially if Josh Allen and the Bills, if they keep turning the ball over as they did. He threw three picks, and he also added a fumble onto the ground to set up that Garrett Wilson touchdown, I believe. And let's not act as if it took them a doink field goal to get into overtime. The Bills' defense didn't look that good. Let's be real. Their run defense kind of looked trash. And if you lose a game to Zach Wilson, Zach Wilson is 2-8 in his last 10 starts, and those two wins came against the Buffalo Bills. I don't understand it, but the Bills have some soul-searching to do, and I think it really comes down to their head coach being terrible and Josh Allen needing a haircut.
I mean, they look like a fucking mess, I'm going to be honest. Like, and that wasn't even just like the weather was also not good there. It was raining a little bit, I think, during the game here and there. But obviously it poured there before the game. I don't know if you guys saw, but there was like there was no one allowed like in the stadium on the field before the game because it was like crazy floods, weather, whatever. But like their mistakes, like they were showing the highlights of the mistakes, and they all looked like awfully mental mistakes. Like Josh Allen is completely just looking away from the ball on the snap. The interceptions were ugly. They weren't even like he like practically like there was the one that was in the end zone, like going to Stephon Diggs, and Stephon Diggs just like tried almost killing him, trying to grab that interception. And he just threw both hands up there. Just ugly, ugly mistakes. Obviously this is a big year for the Bills and Josh Allen. They need to be out here and stepping it up a lot. Like, there's a lot of expectations on this team. Not the way you want to start your season at all.
Yeah, it was a bad week for teams with expectations. And just overall, I mean, you know, you win the game, but what's going to happen the rest of the season with the New York Jets? That game, that day will be a day that Jets fans never forget. Never forget. But anyways, that pretty much wraps it up for week one, and an exciting week one. We forgot to mention at the beginning of this episode, two episodes this week. So this week was just the review. This is the end of the episode. The next episode coming out later this week will be our predictions for week two. But before then, still soak it all in. It was a fantastic weekend of football, and we got a fresh slate of games starting on Thursday. Until then, we will see you guys later, and peace.
Peace.